Good evening, everyone. I'm Pastor Phil Threlkill. On behalf of the members of Main Street United Methodist Church, I welcome you to this 26th annual Hanging of the Green service. You should all have a copy of the program to follow carefully, and I invite you to take a moment of silence and to humble your heart before the Lord, and then we'll stand for the call to worship in our processional carol. Let us stand before the Lord. And if you will join me, how shall we prepare this house for the coming of the King? With branches of cedar, the tree of royalty. How shall we prepare this house for the coming of the Christ? With garlands of pine and fir, whose leaves are ever living, ever green. How shall we prepare our hearts for the coming of the Son of God? By hearing again the words of the prophets, through spoken word and song. For God sent not his Son into the world, condemned the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Glory to God in the highest. Our carol is found on the facing page, and you're invited to sing verses 1, 2, 3, and 6.
Thank you.
The common prayer is found on the first page of the service, and if you will join me there. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray together. O God, our Heavenly Father, the whole world rejoices at the coming of your Son. Everywhere around us we see signs of his coming. As we gather in this evening hour, as your family draws us closer to you, fill our hearts with anticipation and longing for your Son's return, and make his Spirit very present in our hearts tonight. May the life symbolized in the hanging of these greens tonight be a sign of a greater life we find in him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And you may be seated.
During the Advent season, we prepare for the one who has come, whom we expect to come, and who will come again. In this season, we recall God's entering history as one of us in his Son, Jesus Christ. We prepare our hearts so that God will find room and expression in our lives. As we proceed through the Advent season, we pray for the day when every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. During Advent, we look toward Christmas, the fulfillment of God's love for all people. Through many generations, we've had reminders of Jesus' birth and the beautiful symbols of music, customs, and tradition so that we will not forget what our God has done. In the hanging of the greens, we share with Christians through the ages the memory and anticipation of Christ's coming. Paraments have long been a tradition in the Christian community. They provide a colorful representation of the many Christian symbols. They help us worship by linking visible symbolism to the seasonal themes. We not only hear the themes, but can see them symbolized before us. For many months during the season following Pentecost, the color used by the church in the paraments has been green. Green symbolizes growth in the Christian life for each individual and each place where the church has witness. As we begin the Advent season, we change the paraments to purple, the color of royalty and of God's reign in preparation for the coming of the Christ. The lighting of candles has been a part of worship for centuries. The Hebrews burned candles for 8 days as part of their Feast of Lights. Light is used to symbolize truth, while the darkness has been the universal symbol of evil. Jesus is called the light of the world. Some early Christian leaders stated that the wax of the candle represented the body of Christ, while the wick symbolized his soul. And the flame portrayed his divine nature. When Mary and Joseph presented Jesus in the temple, Simeon referred to the Christ child as a light to lighten the Gentiles. As we light candles, we symbolize Emmanuel, God with us, whose transforming power heals the world of sin and evil, war and strife, suffering and despair. Jesus embodies hope and help for those held captive by oppression. Advent is a time of expectation. And this is symbolized not only by the four-week period of preparation, but also by the lighting of the Advent candle on each Sunday of the season. The tradition of the Advent wreath is traced back to an old Scandinavian custom that celebrated the coming of light after a season of darkness. In that day, candles were placed on the edge of a horizontal wheel. As the wheel was spun around, the lighted candles would blend into a continuous circle of light. Today, we use a circle of evergreen to remind us of the continuous power of God, which knows no beginning or ending. Four candles encircle a central Christ candle. The candles signify God's Son as the light of the world. There are four candles for the 4 weeks in Advent. Each Sunday in Advent, we light the candles from the preceding weeks along with a new one. The flame of each new candle reminds us that something is happening, but something more is still to come. The Christ candle is not lit until Christmas Eve. The Advent wreath, with the increasing brightness from the candles, witnesses to the light that cannot be put out. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. In Him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. evergreens have long been considered symbols of eternity, a sign of God's everlasting nature, and an indication that the faithful will experience eternal life in communion with God in Jesus Christ. The Advent custom of decorating with evergreen branches comes to us from the peasants of the Middle Ages, who believed that preparation should be made for the coming of Jesus. On the first Sunday of Advent, each family would gather evergreens and place them near the hearth in their home. We continue that tradition today as we hang the greens in our sanctuary, our church home. As Isaiah tells us, "The glory of Lebanon shall come to you, the cypress, the plane, and the pine, to beautify the place of my sanctuary." The legend of the poinsettia comes from Mexico. It tells of a girl named Maria and her little brother Pablo. They were very poor, but always looked forward to the Christmas festival. Each year, a large manger scene was set up in the village church, and the days before Christmas were filled with parades and parties. The two children loved Christmas, but were always saddened because they had no money to buy presents. They especially wished that they could give something to the church for the baby Jesus, but they had nothing. One Christmas Eve, Maria and Pablo set out for church to attend the service. On their way, they picked some weeds growing along the roadside and decided to take them as their gift to the baby Jesus in the manger scene. Of course, the other children teased them when they arrived with their gift, but they said nothing, for they knew they had given what they could. Maria and Pablo began placing the green plants around the manger, and miraculously, the green top leaves turned into bright red petals, and soon the manger was surrounded by beautiful star-like flowers, and so we see them today.
Thank you.
meanings behind many of the symbols we use in Christmas decorations come from legends rather than pure facts. One Christian legend says that the holly was not originally an evergreen plant, but that one cold winter night, the holly miraculously grew leaves. Why? To hide the Holy Family from Herod's soldiers. Another legend about this Christmas plant says that a little orphan boy was living with the shepherds when the angels came to announce the birth of the newborn king. Having no gift for the baby, the child wove a crown of holly branches for his head. But when he laid it before Christ, he became ashamed of its poverty and began to cry. Miraculously, Jesus touched the crown, and the leaves began to sparkle and shine. The orphan's tears, where they had fallen under the gift, turned into beautiful scarlet berries. Christmas tree is a wonderful sign of God's love and steadfastness, never losing its color. The Christmas tree reminds us of his steadfast love, which endures forever. Legend has it that Martin Luther was the first person to decorate his home with a Christmas tree. Luther was walking home one Christmas Eve when he saw the glitter of the stars shining through the snow-covered branches of the fir trees. Luther was so awed by this sight that he took one of the trees home with him and placed candles on the branches to demonstrate to his family what a glorious sight he had seen. From this first Christmas tree in the Luther household, the custom spread. Now Christmas trees are used in homes, in churches, and in communities, wherever the birth of Christ is celebrated and the love of Christ is shared. The use of chrismons on the tree began in the Lutheran Church of the Ascension in Danville, Virginia, in 1957. Chrismons, or Christ monograms, or handmade designs forming the familiar symbols of the Christian faith. These symbols speak to Christians of the deep meaning of the gospel. The fish is the most ancient symbol for our Lord and was used as an easily recognized secret sign by early Christians. The first letters of the Greek words for Jesus Christ, God's Son, Savior, form the Greek word for fish. The anchor cross was called the Cross of Hope by first century Christians. It reminds us that Jesus is the hope of the world. The star, angels, lambs, and other Christian symbols are used for chrismons. Each of them helps us recall the Christmas story.
We have seen a star shine.
For most people, whether they care to admit it or not, the celebration of Christmas and the exchanging of gifts go hand in hand. The Christmas gift-giving tradition is thought to remind us of the Magi's offerings to the Christ child and God's gift of Jesus to humankind. Tonight, our decorators will place under the Christmas tree the blankets and food that you have donated. After they've completed their task, if you brought a blanket or food for the food pantry and you want to place it under the tree, you are welcome to do so. In the coming weeks, these will be distributed through our Thursday afternoon food pantry to those in our community who are in need of assistance.
Mary, Spirit of God,
The Christmas decor would not be complete without the presence of the nativity scene. We remember the first Christmas night as Mary and Joseph took shelter in a stable, using a manger or feeding trough filled with straw for a crib. Mary lay her newborn baby down to sleep. Cattle, donkeys, and other livestock didn't seem to mind the invasion of their home by the weary travelers. As the angels proclaimed the news of the birth to shepherds out in the field, excitement filled the air. Months later, wise men from the east followed a star to Bethlehem in search of the baby, the king. With them, they brought valuable gifts, which they presented to the child as they worshiped him. By the time the wise men found Jesus, he and his family had probably found more suitable housing than the stable. Nevertheless, we associate the wise men with the first Christmas night and often complete the nativity scene with the Magi and their camels.
You to come forward now and join us for the reading of the Christmas story from Luke chapter 2. To listen carefully as I read the Christmas story. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be enrolled. This was the first enrollment when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be enrolled, each to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be enrolled with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to be delivered. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in that region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy, which will come to all the people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and singing, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Do you know how old I am? How? 49. 62. 38. 56. I'm 60 years old. That means for 60 years, on Christmas Eve, I have either heard this story read or I have spoken to the church about it. And one reason that the church, young and old, never gets tired of hearing the story is it says that God did the most amazing thing. That God the Son came down the back steps of history and became a little baby who had to be fed by his mother and changed and learned all the things that you do. Now, if I went to your homes and ask your parents to pull out your baby pictures, what would you look like? You'd be short. You wouldn't be able to do much. And everything would have to be done for you. And not everyone else would think you were beautiful, but your parents would think you're the most beautiful child that was ever born. That night, Mary gave birth to Jesus, and the world was given new hope. And above all, we want you children to know the Lord. And the traditions of this church are intended to weld Christ deep into your heart. You're going to have a Merry Christmas this year. The Christmas season at this church begins anyway with this service of the hanging of the greens. So I want to thank you for your part of bearing witness to God's love for the world in Jesus Christ. Now I'm going to sit with you. I want you to pay careful attention as the choir sings the song of the angels.
Thank you.
Please stand. You kids can stay seated for just a minute. If you'll join me at the collect for Advent, let us pray. Gracious God, your vision of peace and wholeness comes to us in sweeping revelations and in tiny signs of hope. Kindle our hearts that we may be a hopeful people. Keep us from growing weary of waiting, lest we miss the glory of your appearing. Even so, come quickly, O God. Amen. Our carol is on the facing page. It came upon a midnight clear. And as we sing, y'all can go back to your parents, okay?
Thank you.
immediately when the service is over, you're all invited to stay for a few minutes and come back down the hallway and into our fellowship hall, where we have a wonderful reception arranged for you. I'll also be over here between the baptismal font and the Christmas tree. If you came needing a prayer tonight, I'll be here to pray a brief prayer with you. And I want to remind you that we're entering an almost magical season of the year. When we are free to do good, when we are free to celebrate, we are free to honor Christ. So I welcome you into this time of year to joy and decorations, to giving and worship, to welcoming Christ again into our needy world. And I send you forth with this benediction. God has joined himself to frail human flesh. It lived and grew just like us. It learned its Hebrew letters. Jesus became a man and began a powerful ministry of the kingdom. He called his followers. He was crucified on a cruel cross by ignorant people. He lives again in resurrection. There's hope for every human being. There's hope for you. There's hope for us all. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And God's people said, Amen.